Today on the Monocle Arts Review, we speak with Francesca Gavin, art critic and curator. On today's programme, Francesca will review the latest exhibitions she's seen around the world, from Antwerp and Berlin, and finally ending back here in London. That is all ahead on today's edition of the Monocle Arts Review with me, Tom Edwards. Francesca Gavin, welcome to the show. Good
Hello.
To have you with us, as always. Now, you've been busy travelling, globetrotting. I'm going to throw that in there. But where should we start? Let's go to Antwerp,
perhaps.
Let's start there and head to the Museum of Modern Art in that very city.
Yes, MUCA, which is a great space, has really good curation. And this show is called Energy Flash, and it's basically about the relationship between rave music and techno and house in that period and contemporary art. And it's really fun. There are a lot of British people who've been making the pilgrimage to Belgium on the Eurostar to see the exhibition, which was interesting. Yeah, it's a great show. It's very noisy. It's very colourful. There's a lot of video work. It's fun.
Well, I was going to ask you about this because obviously people will straight away say, well, hey, look, there's only really one way to tell this story, and that is through video, maybe through light installation, this kind of thing. Does it manage, though, to capture, not suggesting you were there, Francesca, by any means, but does it capture what we all imagine that scene was really like? Or is it supposed to be more of an analytical piece, really, than that?
Well, it's really interesting. I think it's very much about trying to create some of the atmosphere that was there. And I've actually curated a few shows myself on the subject. So it was a pet subject of mine to go see. It's really interesting. There is a lot of video work and a lot of installations. Some of them are super successful. Mm. Some of them are less so because you're dealing with the different forms of showing video work. I particularly like a work by Matt Stokes, which was documentation around these raves happening in the north of England, which included everything from the photographic to old mixtapes, old flyers. So it very much felt like the ephemera around that moment in time. There were other works made by more recent artists like Alexandra Domanovic, which paired videos of idents from television news segments during the sort of Serbo-Croat Yugoslavia period, along with rave imagery that was happening at the time, so pairing those ideas of the media and rebellion against things. It also reiterated some of the issues that were happening at that time, which is there is a limited number of women taking part in the dissemination of all this, and I find that really interesting and maybe something that could have been tweaked. But nonetheless, it's a great, fun show. There are some good Russian elements that you wouldn't necessarily see otherwise, some like Wolfgang Tillmann's photography from ID magazine. It definitely is trying to recreate a period and seeing how people were addressing it much more than looking at it from hindsight.
And on that point, is it about then sort of challenging what we have all come to understand the rave scene was about? Or is it trying to be more of a document of that? Or, is it one of these things where it doesn't actually really matter? It's just compelling.
Well, I think, it depends how you're approaching it. If you're not interested in art at all, it's really interesting just coming and having that kind of sociological connection. If you are interested in art, it's very interesting seeing how artists throughout that period of time and perhaps a bit later are drawing on ideas around dissent or music or physicality or drug culture as inspiration for making art. I mean, it's very much from an art context. It's not just newspaper clippings
And I find it always
the criminal justice bill.
The art world, because especially when there's exhibitions that deal with subjects around, I guess you'd call it countercultures, does it all kind of go mainstream? And it's like, oh, it's at the Museum of Modern Art, kind of in the mainstream. You get this sense of, I don't know, these cultures where it was quite subversive at the time. It was about challenging boundaries. And yeah, there was a lot of issues around dissent and resistance. Does that radical nature of it still, can you still kind of feel that through the works that they've got on display? Or does it feel like a, you know, mainstream society documenting something? Oh, well, we all remember this.
Well, actually, I think that's probably one of the fundamental questions. Can you show politics or can you show rebellion through the visual or through video or through documentation? And arguably, probably not in the same way as it was to experience it. However, I still think there's something really interesting about wanting to educate a new generation, perhaps, who haven't had the experience of being able to express themselves in those ways because all those clubs have closed down and all those laws have been passed internationally that prevent them from doing that. So I think that something like this has a power beyond it, showing how you can address the political beyond just something as documentation. So I think it does work at that. And there's some amazing artists in it, like Mark Leckie.
Well, people can go and see and experience and maybe reminisce, depending on who they are. Energy Flash, the rave movement. It's on until the 25th of September at the Museum of Modern Art in Antwerp. Next up, Let's head to Berlin. That's seen a few raves in its time. Elegant link.
Still does.
Elegant link there. Still going on, I've heard. But let's talk about an exhibition celebrating, well, an anniversary, the 100th anniversary of the Dadaist movement. Now, people might say, well, hang on a minute. I know a little bit about this. That was in Zurich. That's where this should be. That was in Zurich 1916, which is true. Mm-hmm. But this is somewhere else. And it's looking at Dadaism more internationally, which I guess is what maybe makes this particularly interesting.
Well, actually, this show was originally held in Zurich at the Musée Reitberg, which is a really interesting museum that has a sort of ethnographical focus. They have an incredibly good collection as a main museum collection. And this is an incredible show which pairs African, largely, but also some Asian artworks with Dada pieces that were directly influenced by them. So it's very much looking at how what's been referred to as the ethnographical, but basically African art, Asian art, Newfoundland and that kind of period, have been stolen and adapted throughout the 20th century. So sometimes with great success. So looking at the influence of this work on people like Hans Arp, amazing works by Hannah Hock, who's an incredible collage maker, and seeing how that kind of filters through and also directly quotes works that would have been less familiar to people. Mm. So it's like a homage to the sources and highlighting what that connection is. And I think that's something really important, readdressing the idea. It's not just people from Europe going, wow, look, Africa's really cool. We copied it, which is basically the basis of 20th century modernism, to something a bit like, well, look at how the 20th century modernism approached it. Actually, it's not quite as good as the originals. Mm-hmm. So the original work comes off really, really, really strong.
And what about the sort of broader influences? Because obviously people will understand that, you know, the Dadaist influence can be seen through all sorts of other expressions, whether it's in, you know, through futurism or constructivism or whatever. Does this exhibition seek to trace some of those narratives, or is it looking at things maybe a little differently?
There's a little bit of that, but actually a lot of it seems very much more comparative. So it very much is like, here's the original, here's how this was adapted, or here's elements of, let's say, theatre performances and documentation of that and how it connected to it. It's very much pairing sort of concept of the definition of primitivism and what that is and how that can be reinterpreted. Because even the idea of the word primitive is now seen as almost semi-racist, if we're being really honest, which is understandable. So how do you look at ideas of inspiration and admiration in a different way? And the work is really, really beautiful and really interesting. And the Berlinische Gallery is a great space.
Well, I was going to ask you about this because I always like to try and get our listeners a sense of not just the works that are there and the mood, but also the space if they're not familiar. This all works perfectly. It's a great space for this. Describe a little bit to us about the space and how the works are displayed.
I mean, the museum itself is probably the most interesting part of it, which is very much about the relationship between Berlin as a city and its history of art. So the idea of these urban centres, and I think that's quite a good pairing with Dada, which was very much connected to a central European creative hub as some place to reinvent the art world at the early 20th century. So I think that's the main connection of it ending up in this space, as opposed to, I mean, also it probably would have gone very well in Paris, which is another city where you had a wave of artists totally obsessed with African art, essentially, or oceanic art, such as Picasso and Modigliani. But it's really interesting, the Picasso-Modigliani group is so well known for their connection to that period of art. It's really interesting seeing the Dadaist focus, which is much more the way they're drawing on the work is very differently. It's a little bit more raw. It's a little bit more aggressive. It's much funnier. It's nice seeing the idea of how you can absorb that inspiration in a different way, which isn't so painterly.
Intriguing. And it's Dada Africa Dialogue with the Other, and that's on until the 7th of November. So plenty of time to head to the Berlinische Gallery in Berlin to see that one for yourselves. Let's end today's show, Francesca, by returning to London and the Camden Art Centre exhibition, Making and Unmaking. And let's pitch squarely in and talk about the curator of this show. Well, tell us more.
Well, he's a fashion designer for a start, which is really interesting and very timely for a moment where I think the art world's looking for curators outside of the curatorial world, we'll say. So hence this massive wave of artists as curators we're seeing from biennials like Manifesto or Berlin. And I think the idea of getting a fashion designer to curate has great benefits and flaws.
Let's come on to the flaws in a moment, because I'll be interested to pick your brain about that. But what are the benefits? And are they sort of manifest for all to see, do you think, when you go to this exhibition?
Well, yeah. Firstly, I mean, it's a very non-white show. It's actually a really interesting thing to follow on from our Dada Africa show. There are lots of great black artists in this from both Europe and America. Some of my favorite artists include Lynette Yardambouaké, some amazing archival works, and a really interesting focus on fabric and texture and textiles within art. And you really feel like there's some interesting things to be discovered through this, and they're crammed into the space. There's a lot of it. Because he comes from a fashion background, a lot of the work is displayed against African textiles. And I think that's a really nice, refreshing way to be showing paintings or drawings.
But I wonder whether, and I haven't been to this exhibition myself, but I've read some of the criticism, and it's been, well, it can be a little overwhelming. It's incredibly busy. It's obviously very densely packed. Mm-hmm. Is that a bit of an issue, or is there kind of an order amongst that slightly chaotic and very densely populated space?
Well, I think part of the problem of having someone who's not a curator curating is perhaps they're not as used to seeing exhibition layout in the same way. So I have nothing wrong with a salon hang. I like a crammed salon hang. I've used them many times before. However, sometimes, yes, it can be very overwhelming for a viewer. It's sometimes things you want to see are placed higher up necessarily than you'd want. Sometimes the work feels dense and crammed. However, it still kind of works. It means you get to include a lot more work than you would necessarily see otherwise.
Oh, so is it a little bit of a curatorial cop-out then with your curator's hat on? Because it's just like, oh, well, I'm going for this very busy style. And actually, it's because you don't want to make those difficult choices about what to omit.
Arguably, it needed a bit of editing. And I think it probably would have benefited more from a bit of editing. And especially since some of the work itself is quite, there's a lot to it. And there is like a texture. I mean, there's such an emphasis on the textural nature of some of this work. Some amazing sculptural pieces, for example, by I think Dorothea Tanning. Yeah, you really get a feel of, but it's cramped. As a response to the white cube where everything's super, super clean and you have very spacious work, maybe it feels refreshing to have something that's full as hell.
And as a designer, of course, he's well known for being very bold, whether that's with colour, with form, with shape. So I guess one perhaps might have expected that. In terms of the thematics, we've touched upon this a little already. What are some of the other kind of themes, and were there particular works, I don't know, that struck you that really encapsulated what he was going for here?
Well, I think the blackness is really important, and maybe that's the reason why he didn't want to do the editing, because you do not see a lot of exhibitions within the UK, I have to be really honest, that have a focus, let alone anywhere else, actually, if we're being really honest, that really showcase the breadth of work being made by people from the African diaspora internationally. And I think it's really nice seeing some of those works together. Some great paintings. I think Lorna Simpson had some really good collage work. I actually liked some of the archival work that was thrown in there. Not necessarily all of it from contemporary artists. There's like Boetti pieces in there. And Alice Neal, who's an amazing painter. So like there was some of the old thrown in, some of the new thrown in. But I think if giving work to that selection of artists, it's kind of almost worth cramming it in, because you're a bit like, well, they don't always get seen together.
Exactly. And I guess if you've got, what, 70-odd artists, there's going to be something there for everybody, if we follow that logic.
Totally.
Wonderful. Well, you can go and see that one for yourselves at the Camden Arts Centre, as we mentioned, until the 18th of September. Making and Unmaking is on well into next month. And that is all we have time for.
Oh.
It's flown by, Francesca. Thanks very much for being with us. As always, special thanks to our guest today, Francesca Gavin. This has been the Monocle Arts Review with me, Tom Edwards. The show was produced by Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Join us again at the same time tomorrow. We'll be rounding up the week in music. But for now, goodbye from me. Thank you very much for listening.